Spirit is good. God is good. He knows what we need even before we know. The title of our message today is Hope Through Hard Times. You know, being in El Sister, we didn't have the disasters that you guys experienced. And so I felt like I wanted to bring a message, hopefully to encourage you and to strengthen you. When we go through difficult times, it seems that our bewilderment can cause us to question God. If God is so good, then why is this happening to me? Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. Was a prophet of God. And he told us that God is good all of the time, no matter what life throws our way. In that verse 7, it says, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. Although God's goodness doesn't guarantee a trouble-free life, it does promise to sustain us through troubled times. Even when our world seems to be crashing down around us, we know that God's everlasting arms are open. He is the only safe place to which we can run to. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you for inner strength to meet the demands of each hour. When our resources are spent, you send help through your people to supply our needs. Direct our steps, Lord. Bring us out of the darkness of this moment into your marvelous light. In Jesus' name, amen. So there is hope. You know, being a follower of Jesus Christ does not mean that tough times will not come. We live in a fallen world, and we know that creation groans, waiting to be redeemed by the Lord. It is when we're groping in deep darkness that we really learn to depend on God to get us through. We know that sometimes when everything has been knocked out from underneath us, we feel like we're sinking into the mire, that this is the time when we can come to a place that it is only through our Lord, when we can see him as the only one strong enough to rescue us. It is during these times that we experience new dimensions in our relationship with him and receive the ultimate assurance of his unceasing care. When I look at you this morning, I can see faces of hope. Otherwise, you would not be here this morning. You would be out going through the junk, trying to figure out what can I keep, what can I have that goes. And how am I going to do this, Lord? I'm all done. I'm all wore out. We're going to be looking at 2 Kings 25:8 through 12. And then we're going to go to the book of Jeremiah. Both of these stories are connected. They're not two separate stories. And in 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 8 through 12, it describes the fall of Jerusalem. And in 586 BC, the Babylonians destroyed the city, including God's temple. The people of Judah were carried off to Babylon. Jerusalem was completely destroyed, and hope seemed lost. Let's begin at verse 8. On the seventh day of the fifth month, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard, an official of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every important building he burned down. The whole Babylonian army, under the commander of the imperial guard, broke down the walls around Jerusalem. I'm just going to stop there for a moment because I think that took them 18 months, something like that, to get into the city. So all of their resources are gone. And this is why Lamentation tells us terrible stories of the starvation of the people. So Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, carried into exile the people who remained in the city, along with the rest of the populace and those who had gone over to the king of Babylon. But the commander left behind some of the poorest people of the land to work the vineyards and fields. Everything had been destroyed. Many were killed. Others were taken captive. Nothing was left. It must have seemed like God's people would never again thrive in the city of God, Jerusalem. Even though all hope seemed lost, God's plan was not destroyed. Even after God's chosen city had been destroyed and his people were forced into slavery, God remained in control of Israel's destiny. His redemptive plan could not be destroyed. That should bring us hope, because when we look at all of the damage and all the destruction, God's plan is still here. It's still going to work things out, even though we can't feel it right now. Let's look at Jeremiah 33:6-17. Jeremiah 33:6-17. You know, even though Jerusalem had become desolate, Jeremiah realized that God would bring healing and restoration to a suffering people. He reminded the people that God is sovereign, and he would bring healing in the midst of their suffering. The Lord is the creator of the universe, and he is still God, and he's still in control. Beginning at verse 6, Jeremiah 33. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity and will rebuild them as they were before. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. Then the city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor. before all nations on earth, that hear of all the good things I do for it. And they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I provide it. This is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it is desolate, waste, without men and without animals. Yet in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither men nor animals, there will be heard once more. That right there, those few words, there will be heard once more, should bring you hope. Because there's nothing in Scripture that isn't for today also. God speaks to us through his word. So there will be heard once more in Hawarden and the surrounding communities that have suffered so, the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In this place desolate and without man or animals, in all its towns, there will again be pastures for shepherds to rest their flocks. In the towns of the hill country, of the western foothills, and of the Negev, in the territories of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem, and in the towns of Judah, flocks will again pass under the hand of the one who counts them, says the Lord. I'm sorry. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promises I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name of by which he is called, the Lord, our righteousness. For this is what the Lord says, David will never fail to have a man sit on the throne of the house of Israel. Now, I want you to think of this place that was destroyed, that didn't seem like there would ever be another Jerusalem or Israel or Judah or anything. Think up for a moment about the noteworthy events that have taken place in this very city that had been destroyed. It was in Jerusalem that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to present him on the eighth day of his birth. When Jesus was 12 years old, he returned to the temple and amazed the teachers with his knowledge of the scriptures. It was in Jerusalem that Jesus ministered to many people in great need. It was here that Jesus purified the temple, throwing out the money changers and throwing over their tables. He did not put up with their greed, nor their self-serving interest. Christ is Lord of his church, and he demands that it be a house of prayer. It was in Jerusalem where he was arrested, tried, and crucified, rising in victory from the grave. That's not the end of the story. It is just the beginning. It is in Jerusalem that Jesus will return to reign forever. His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. Jesus is the righteous branch that Jeremiah prophesied about. And because Jesus is the righteous Son of God, he took our sin upon himself and died in our place. We must place our trust in him. Even during those times when we strain our eyes into the murky distance, we need to remember that God has always promised better days to come. His people who lived before Jesus' birth took comfort in the promise that a Savior would one day rescue them. Today we look forward to the new heaven and the new earth that Jesus Christ will establish when he returns to be our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, we have that wonderful promise. Even though things are not so hot right now, we know he's coming for us. What a glorious consolation that believers have in knowing that there is nothing impossible for God. He is forever faithful. And when we trust him, his peace will dominate our lives. No matter how trying the problems we face, we can rejoice in the fact that Scripture tells us we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. When we put our trust in him, he will see us through any situation, no matter how demanding, all the way through the dark tunnel he will take us, and we will emerge on the other side. Our faces will once again bask in the brilliant light of a new day of joy through our precious Lord and Savior. God's sovereign plan has always been to rescue humanity from the consequences of sin. We saw that even though all seemed lost and it seemed impossible for our Redeemer to come through the line of David, God's plan availed. The promised Messiah, Jesus, was hanging on a cross. His father and his best friends had forsaken him. His enemies appeared to have won. But just when everything was darkest, Jesus triumphed over sin, Satan, death, and all of his enemies. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. When we face difficulty of any kind, we cannot let ourselves judge what God is doing on the basis of our circumstances. When Israel was defeated, God's chosen people thought God had forsaken them. But the very opposite was true. Our focal point is very limited. But God is working from his blueprint, from the master's plan, for all of his story. Be patient until that plan unfolds. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 8, 22 through 27. Romans chapter 8, 22 through 27. God still instills within us the power to sail right past the disaster, in the face of disaster. And we can understand that disaster is actually one evidence that God does love us and that he is at work in our lives to produce perseverance and character and hope, even though we may not feel like he is. God is ever present in all things. So beginning with verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. What hopes for what you already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how or what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with great groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The creation has been subject to suffering and physical catastrophes because of human sin. You know, that began way back at the time of Adam and Eve. And the earth has been groaning and suffering ever since. So that is why God will redeem the earth and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And we, as children of God, have to remember that we have two divine intercessors. Christ Jesus intercedes for us in heaven, and the Holy Spirit intercedes within the believer here on earth. Our spiritual desires and yearnings find their source in the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. The Spirit himself sighs, groans, and travails for the day of our final redemption. He appeals to the Father on behalf of our needs in accordance with God's will. The good news is that when we cry out to him, he will respond with love and grace to our deep need. When our resources are spent, he will surround us with people who reach out with his love. When we cannot even utter a one-sentence prayer, when we are overcome with such grief that we feel like we cannot endure for another hour, our Lord will move his people to encourage us, reach out to us, pray for us, and cry with us. And we can see that just here in Hayward and alone. There has been great help for those in need. Convoy of Hope brought so much needed supplies. The Red Cross and the Salvation Army were on scene to bring meals, water, and hope. The high school opened up to house many people who had no place to go. Cots and bedding were brought in. Even Prairie Farms brought in a truckload of milk and water. Churches prepared donations. And the cooks here worked tirelessly with Youth for Christ, with the kids to help with cleanup. And football practice became a cleanup crew. And many came to help wherever they could. I know just, our kids that live here worked tirelessly doing sandbags, as some of you have, and helped in people's homes, tearing out, trying to help bring restoration. Many fundraisers have been hard at work raising funds for those who need it. Community members opened up their homes to house guests, and those who were able supplied much-needed showers and made their laundry rooms available. Surrounding communities have been hard at work to bring in much-needed items. The prayers of the saints have become a beacon of hope. The list goes on and on. None of us want to experience hard times, but I am sure that none of us want to give up what God is doing through those times and how he is bringing us to a new place in him. All of us have gone through sufferings of many kinds. Just knowing what God can do in the midst of the storm is beyond comprehension. Sometimes the future looks bleak, but our hope is centered in God's promise of resurrection. God is just as close to us today as Jesus was to his disciples 2,000 years ago, even when we cannot perceive that he is at work. God sends his helpers from even unexpected places. And the last scriptures we're going to look at is in Romans 8, 35 to 39. And Paul reminds us of the confidence that we can have in Jesus Christ. 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's pray. Our merciful Heavenly Father, lead us to an ever-increasing joy as we focus on your great love for us. We give our lives to you, Jesus. We receive hope that gives strength for today and you empower us in our daily struggles. Help us to understand that our steps are in the hands of the Almighty God of the universe, who is walking with us stride for stride throughout our life's journey. And we do love you, Lord. In that name, above every name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here today. I know it was hard.